Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna take you to the glory. I can't stand it, no. Yeah, I can't stand it.
Yeah. Now we're the South Side. Now we're the West Side. Can I talk my shit again? Even if I don't hit again, dog, are you fucking kidding? My hat, my shoes, my coat, Louis Vuitton shit. With Donatella Versace, that's Louis Vuitton, bitch. I think Hennessy, I drink, I'm gone. Off that Bacardi, Limon, and Corona, I'm zoning. Class back in session, so we're up to the grade. In 2 years, Dwayne Wayne became Dwayne Wade. And hey, please don't starve me. I'm like Nars Barkley, me Charles Barkley. I'm Pops the Parkers, I'm Hood the Parkers. While y'all was in limbo, I raised the bar up. I touched on everything. Mary to the game, rock the case of the wedding ring. Y'all bridesmaids catch the garter. On nights when gay romance camouflage so much that I gotta do that yayo dance. I'm on a war tour with Common, my man. After each and every show, a couple dykes in the band. It's easy, the hood love to listen. It's Jeezy and Weezy. And oh yeah, Yeezy, I did it for the glory. What I'm supposed to do now, man, the game all messed up. How I'm supposed to stand out when everybody get dressed up? So yeah, at the Grammys I went Ocean Travolta. Yeah, that tuxedo might have been a little Guido, but with my ego, I can stand there in a speedo and be looked at like a fucking hero. The glory, the story, the chain, the polo, the night, the grind, the empty bottles, the no-dos. Tank on empty, whipping my mama Bobo. I spent that gas money on clothes with logos. The fur is Hermes, shit that you don't flaunt. The Goyard so hard, man, I'm Hugo Boss. Why I gotta ask what that two low cost? House in the hill, two doors from Tracy Ross. And I'm asking about a girlfriend, yeah, the dark skinned one. She asked about the speedboat side, me. We winning them. When you meet me in person, what do you feel like? I know, I look better in real life. I hear people compare each other big and lie. You know, big and pop, you know, the get it high. I guess that's how I live, I wanna be compared to big. Anyone, Big Pun, Big L, or Notorious, sit in, get money and stunt and stay glorious. And I'ma stop killing these niggas soon as the chorus hit. Yeah, I'ma stop killing these niggas soon as the chorus hit. These haters be killing themselves. They wanna come and get the glory. The glory.
What up? Welcome to another edition of Detroit Sports Rap. I am your host, Big C, coming to you live and direct from the city, baby. Ella's going to join us on the call a little bit later. We got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of things, football to talk about, developing story. Geno Smith got his jaw straight, shellacked, racked, didn't quite bounce back, basically broken in two places, so he's expected to miss some time. We're going to talk about that, what happened in the locker room, what allegedly happened, where was the rest of the team, and things of that sort. Michigan and Michigan State have gotten things kind of going at their camps. It's very, very early for both of them, but we're going to talk a little bit about the rankings that came out. The coaches' poll came out last week. Talk about some of the expectations for Michigan and Michigan State. They had their media week last week, and the media kind of chose where each team was going to finish in the Big Ten. We're going to talk about, you know, some of those predictions. We're going to talk about the Lions, who are well into camp. Actually, they have their first game tomorrow. preseason game, that is, I should say. I'll talk about some of the news and notes coming out of their camp. We're also going to talk about, like I said, the Geno Smith situation. We're on the eve of the court hearing between the NFL and Tom Brady and Deflategate. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And then we're going to talk about fantasy football, man. It's that time, man. I opened up with that Kanye, man, because, first of all, I miss the old Kanye, man. I miss the backpacker with a little bit of swag, man. He's kind of, I'm not going to say going left. He's evolved, I would say. And I still like what's going on. He's still a genius, man. But it's, you know, it's not, that music right there is that feel-good music, man, that I grew up on. So I'm always going to be partial to that. I miss that. But I also want to let folks, I'm going for the glory, man. I'm in the Phi League. I'm getting married. Congratulations to myself. Thank you very much. And I'm still going to be a champion out here, man, in this fantasy football. So we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to even give you all some of my knowledge, man, as I give you some of the running backs that I have in my tiers, some of my sleepers, some boom and bust candidates. You know, let you guys in, you know, share a little bit, you know what I'm saying, share life. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Tigers. It's been a little bit of an implosion at the top with them. We saw Dombrowski basically ousted, fired last week. Al Avila is taking over. Avila has a lot of experience here with the Tigers. And he's been in the front office executive for many, many years. He's been up for many other jobs as a GM. I don't know if he turned them down or he didn't quite, get them in other circumstances. But needless to say, he's our new GM. The Tigers were sellers at the trade deadline, traded David Price, traded Joakim Soria, traded Giannis Cespedes. Giannis Cespedes. So, we got a bunch of prospects, a couple of young pitchers who already paid, you know, dividends and shown some promise. Are they going to be the answers for us next year? That's the big question. We hear that, you know, the team was still in the win-now mode, but they traded some very, very big pieces, leaving their rotation very, very thin. I mean, we look at the pitchers, and it's like Anibal Sanchez and Verlander are looking like the cream of the crop. And then after that, you know, you've got Shane Green, who didn't quite work out. Alfredo Simon, who up and down, he's going to be inconsistent. I don't think he's ever going to be a big, big-time shutdown pitcher for you. He's going to be a guy who can give you innings and probably give you, you know, 12 to 15 good outings and probably give you, you know, 12 to 14 wins. And that's going to be probably his ceiling. It's going to be some inconsistencies there. So you're going to look at their lineup and you're going to say, well, we got to fill in at least three starters. A couple of them have to be pretty much top-notch guys. And then we know what the bullpen needs. We need at least two middle relievers, a solid setup man, and a new closer. So I'm looking at this like, okay, I thought we were going to spend money to kind of shore up some of these areas. That's what Dombrowski said before he was unmercifully fired. So now what? Are we really going to contend next year? And I'm going to tell you, man, to be honest with you, my thought process, unless something miraculous really happens and we spend a lot more money or make a blockbuster trade in the offseason or do a combination of both, I don't see us winning, man, more than 75, 80 games next year. We may be competitive slightly for a wild card spot, but I don't see us winning this division, man. I think that the cupboard is bare. We know we don't have much in our farm system. That's why these trades were kind of a necessity because we weren't going to contend this year. All those guys were free agents. Now, the good news is that I'm hearing that Cespedes may want to re-sign here. He had a good time here, enjoyed himself here. He may want to re-sign sometime along the way during his free agency. So that may be definitely a good sign if that were to happen. But looking at the rest of the team, where we're at, maybe getting one solid starter out of this who can play next year, maybe one solid reliever. I mean, that helps, but we still are a ways away the farm system is not quite populated as much as they need to be to replenish the talent. So I'm going to tell you, man, I'm thinking this is going to be a 2 to 3 year project. 2 or 3 years, and at that point in time, I don't know where V-Mart is in this situation, in the equation. I don't know where Miggy is because those guys are going to be older. Could those guys be possibly out the door through some type of trade? It wouldn't shock me at all if those guys can bring a player or two, solid player or two, or and or a solid prospect. Man, you might want to look into that. We didn't think they were going to sell David Price and Joakim Soria up until the last minute, but they did. That's pretty much all we have for those guys right there. Oh, I'm sorry. I want to ask. I wish I had my boy Elliot on here. I can ask him a question, but I'll ask the viewers. You know, where does this leave Mr. Austinus? He has a 2 years left, 1 year guaranteed, another year as a, I believe it's the team option. New regime. Al Avila has said that just like everyone else, he will be evaluated at the end of the year. We've got instances of guys blowing up in the dugout. We got instances of guys, you know, showing a lack of effort or being accused of showing a lack of effort out there. Is he losing the team? He's a young guy. This is his first job. He was put kind of in the pressure cooker because, you know, this team was expected to contend and play at a high level. And I think it's probably, you know, Dombrowski's fault because he put together this collection of players. And they underachieved, especially the pitching staff. Hold on a second, we're going to pause. So, with that being said, I also think that they have to get better offensively. You lose Cespedes, you have an A and B mark. You also have Cabrera, who's been injured this year significantly. I don't know where that leaves your offense. Rozzy Davis, who gives you a little bit of speed on the base pass, is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. So you could be looking for a total rebuild here. Total rebuild. And unfortunately, I don't know if that was the problem with Dombrowski. He didn't want to stick around for that. Or he wants to field other offers. Or, you know, it might have just been Illich saying, hey, he wants to hear another voice. You know, Elliot frequently talks about the transition to the Sun in terms of ownership. With that being said, he possibly could be, you know, trying to set his own, you know, vision, his own team together. And push this thing forward, but I think it's going to be a little bit more painful before it gets better. But I think Austin gets this year to kind of prove himself. Hopefully, they put something together where they can put a competitive team together, possibly compete for a wild card. If they make it, that'll be good. Postseason baseball is always good. Anything can happen. But with that said, I think they are a little bit of ways away. But we always got the winner. So we'll, you know, just look at that, wait for those guys to do their thing. This year, I'm not going to say it was a waste, but it was unfortunate, and they underachieved. Let's keep it moving. NCAA football, baby. We got Michigan and Michigan State. Both teams getting ready to kick it off. Michigan has a heck of a game, their first game of the year against Utah. Michigan State in their second game of the year, they play Oregon. Michigan State... Man, I'm really upset Al isn't here because I want to give his team kudos, give him a chance to kind of rant about his team and go ahead and talk about how they're the greatest team in America and how they're going to win the national championship this year. But I got it all out the way, so when he comes back, we are going to say he can do it. We've done it already. But Michigan State ranked currently sixth in the coaches poll. Ohio State's ranked number one. TCU's ranked number two. Alabama, number three. Baylor, number four, must return a very good team. They lost their quarterback, Bryce Petty. Number five is Oregon, who Michigan plays in week two. And then number six, Michigan State. Are they really, truly a national championship contender? I'm going to tell you what. I think defensively, they possibly have what it takes. I think at the offensive line position, they possibly have what it takes. I think it's the quarterback position, Connor Cook. Although some of these Michigan State quarterbacks, I think, are slightly overrated at times, but I like him. I like what he does. I like his leadership ability. I like what he can do with the ball in his hands. I think that he has what it takes. Do they have enough team speed? Do they have enough playmakers on the outside at the skill positions? I think is going to be the question. I like the tight ends. They're solid. They have a couple guys. They can do a couple different things with them. But do they have the guys on the outside, the receivers, that can stretch the field consistently, get open, and make Connor Cook the quarterback that people try to make him out to be? I'm hearing that he's going to be the number one quarterback prospect next year for the NFL draft. And I don't know if he's that good, but I think he's pretty good. The question again, though, wide receivers, Aaron Burbidge, Ernie Williams, McGarrett Kings, are those guys good enough to make an impact? They do have D'Anthony Arnett, formerly of Saginaw and the University of Tennessee, who has the ability, but he's yet to put it all together. He's been there for a couple of years. I think this is his senior year. So this is going to be his last chance to really show himself out there. A.J. Troop as well is another guy who can make plays for them. Strong ability to separate, solid hands, good run after catch guy. But it looks like he can possibly be a guy who can help them in the slot. But that's the big question for State. Highly ranked, a tough opponent week two with Oregon. National championship type feel in that game. National appeal. I'm sure they're going to have game day there. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that type of pressure. Ohio State to me looks to be the class of the nation. Alabama, you know, I think they're getting a little bit of favorable treatment because they do play in the SEC. I will say it. I'm upset that L is not here to hear me say this, but I think this year they did lose a lot. They always lose a lot, but losing the quarterback, I think, is a big issue for them. And I think the SEC is going to be a little bit tougher this year. But with that being said, I think they are going to be a contender. Saban always gets his teams ready to play. And you can expect, you know, them to possibly be there at the end of the season. TCU is a real, real, real team that I really, really like and a sleeper. Well, I don't know if they're a sleeper because they're ranked number two in the country, but generally they're looked at as a mid-major, but they're playing in the Big 12 now, who I don't know if they're going to adjust themselves to have a championship game or not, but have a tremendous offensive team led by a tremendous quarterback who's a dual-threat guy. They play that spread. He can run it. He can throw it. Accounted for about 70% of their offense last year. And they also have, I think, one of the brightest young head coaches in Patterson in the NCAA. He's normally known for his defense. His last couple of years, he's been kind of – TCU's kind of fallen off a little bit. They've been playing against those spread offenses out there that's been a little tough for him. But with them playing in that conference now, their profile has been higher. They're already in the state of Texas where they're recruiting great athletes there. They have now a more national appeal. They're recruiting great players there now. I think they're going to be tough. Watch out for them. Baylor, I'll have to see what the quarterback situation is there. And also defensively. They weren't impressive defensively last year, which cost them the game. I think, and a shot at the national championship last year and cost them the game against Michigan State. So you definitely have to watch them. Same thing with Oregon. They seem to kind of reload, break system out there. I don't know who their quarterback is going to be. But I do think that they have a lot of great returning talent surrounding that quarterback. So if they can put it together and find the guy, make them contend. But it's going to be a great game early on to see who that new quarterback is against the ferocious Michigan State defense in week two. That's a great week to catch him, see what the Spartans can do when the spotlight is on. Now, enough gushing about the Spartans. Look pretty good. Well, I'm not quite done yet. Actually, like I said, Big Ten media days were last week. The media officially picked Michigan State to finish second in the Big Ten behind Ohio State, which is funny because I believe we're in the same division. And unlike last year when they were in separate divisions, they could end up in a championship game This year, I don't believe that can happen. I'm going to have to second check that in a minute. But I don't think that can happen for him. But with that being said, I think they're the second best team in the conference. I do. I think Ohio State, like I said, is the class of the nation. I think Michigan State is stepping up their profile out here, doing pretty good, has a solid quarterback, and they're going to be in a top 10 team. I don't know if they made the playoffs. I got to see them. Like I said, the skill position guy, somebody that can play on a real, real big-time level and can beat the Alabama, and can beat the Oregon and things. And the perfect thing about it is they get a chance to go out there and play them, or come here and play them, I should say, and show themselves. So very, very much looking forward to that. Now, on to my Michigan boys. Unranked in the coaches poll, unranked in the SI poll. I'm sorry, Michigan State, I believe, was ranked 7th in the SI poll. I can't remember who was ranked in front of them there, but 7th in the SI poll. We've heard a lot about the revival of Michigan football. Got the new coach, Harbaugh, and there was a great article in the Free Press that talked about how Michigan State under D'Antonio has been racking up the wins while Michigan has been racking up the headlines and the attention. And I believe that's true. And I believe that is probably one of the reasons why Michigan State fans, Spartans, stay so mad and stay so proudful about their brief reign over Michigan, because no matter what they do, how well do it really, they don't get that national respect that they feel that they need or want and deserve and whatever. And that just really, I think, irks them. I think that really, really bothers them. I think that's the reason why they're just so excited. I mean, if you ever talk to them, they're like, man, we never just missed a bowl game in 2009. We have been the greatest team of all time, man, since 2010, man. We were, man, please. Since Antonio came, man, it's like Nick Saban was here, and he was the man. Like, Nick Saban wasn't even the man when he was here. He had to go to LSU, win, then go to Alabama. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't even the man when he was here. But okay, I digress. You know, but I think that's why they're mad, and I think that has kind of happened this year with Harbaugh. And, you know, as a U of M fan, I'm not a non fan of Michigan State. I just favor, you know, U of M, and for the sake of this show, you know, I'm a U of M guy. He's a Michigan State guy. He gives us good balance on the show. But I think that's good for the program. Getting the exposure, those satellite camps, the attention those satellite camps brought, and not just the exposure to the program, but the exposure of those kids to not just the Michigan guys. And there was some recruits who were offered and some who accepted due to those satellite camps. But there were also other schools there and coaches from other schools there who participated in those camps and gave a lot of kids the opportunity to show their abilities, showcase their abilities, and open up opportunities that possibly they wouldn't have had. So it was a great idea for them to do it. I think it was beneficial for both parties, all parties involved. With that being said, we still got a football season to play in front of us. You still inherit the players who were 5-7 last year and who haven't been really, really dominant, even though I looked at Brady Hoke. Brady Hoke was here for 4 years. I think he went to bowl games 3 of his 4 years. And they're like, oh, after that first year, he went to those bowls, second-rate bowls. Like, well, you know, those are the bowls Michigan State was used to going to all the time. That was it for them, the Blue Bonnet Bowls, the Raisin Bowls, Peach Bowl, Sun Bowl, you know what I'm saying? But again, I digress. I ain't talking about it, but I'm just talking true. But with that being said, it's going to be tough. The Utah game is going to be tough. All their games where speed is involved, UNLV, that's going to be a tough one. BYU, I think they play BYU, that's going to be a tough one. They got some tough games ahead of them. The conference is going to be tough. Like I said, they were unranked in both polls. In the Big Ten Media Conference, the Big Ten Media Conference, they picked them to be 7th behind Ohio State.
behind Michigan State, behind Wisconsin, that's three, behind Nebraska, that's four, behind Minnesota, that's five, behind Penn State, yeah, that's six, and they picked them to be seven. I look at that, and I try to be as objective as possible and see what's going on. I'm going to tell you, I definitely see them behind Michigan State and Ohio State, definitely. I see them possibly being behind Wisconsin and Nebraska, possibly. That's what's in fifth. I think that they're silly. I think that they're silly for this year, probably being fifth, maybe fourth, but fifth, solid, silly for them in the Big Ten. I look at Penn State, and I say they got one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. Franklin, I think, is a solid coach. Not great in terms of X and O's right now, but a solid coach, puts it together, recruits great, hardworking kids who buy into his program, and who produce for him. So I think they're right there banging with Michigan. When I see Minnesota in the resurgent program under Jerry Kill, guys play a unique style of football, spread football, but still with some of that smash mouth feel. Jerry Kill, you know, somehow, I'm not going to say somehow, I didn't think he would, you look at him, he doesn't like a guy who can really, really connect with some of these kids, but with that being said, he's connected, he's recruited well. Minnesota's a force to be reckoned with, an upcoming force. I don't know if they're Michigan right now, but they're, you know, a solid force out there. So with that being said, I think those three teams, Michigan, Penn State, Minnesota, kind of battle for those five, six, and seven spots. I think you can kind of toss them up together and kind of see where the chips, you know, were made, how far through the chips land where they made. Zach Ellis, who was a writer for the for Sports Illustrated, predicted a 6-6 season for Michigan. Them going to a very, very, very second-tier bowl, being very mediocre. And I'm going to tell you, that wouldn't surprise me at all. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm hoping for that similar effect that Hoke had when he first got here. Maybe a little bit more talent than he inherited. I'm hoping a little better coaching than he exhibited. And possibly that same little energy and magic that got into that, you know, team where he first took over, can get into this team, and we can have an 8-3, 9-2 type run, or 10-2, or 11-2 type run. But that's yet to see, we're yet to see that from those guys. Quarterback situations. You got the new guy to transfer, played 2 years at Iowa, but was demoted. Labeled a game manager, decent arm, decent accuracy from the short intermediate game. Didn't really take too many shots. Had almost a 3-1 TD to turnover ratio at Iowa with a 17-6 turnover ratio at Iowa. He was demoted for the bowl game. Then, during spring practice, I believe, they decided that he was going to be second on the depth chart. During the spring practice that he's going to be second on the depth chart. He decided to leave school. Comes in, he's battling Shane Morris, third-year sophomore, best known for his concussion that he had last year and the situation that ensued after. Has yet to throw a touchdown pass. Has looked very average to me in all the games I've seen him in. Looks very average at the in spring ball. Just looks like an average quarterback. Nothing really going on. You know, strong arm. Needs some work with his accuracy. Needs some work with his decision making. Needs some work with his touch. A guy who just needs some work. Had a lot of accolades coming out of college, but I think lacks a little bit of polish and, like I said, basically needs some work. it'll be good to see what Harbaugh can do with him because he has a lot of raw physical skills. Rudolph just looks to be, like I said, a guy who can manage the game, decent, you know, solid to decent arm, mobility, average to slightly above average. Solid decision making. I think that might be a guy that Harbaugh wants under there. He's going to have hopefully a solid defense or a veteran defense. He's got a young, well, I'm not going to say young, experienced offensive line. They haven't played well together yet, but they're experienced, and they should develop some type of chemistry with them. Also, that they need to have some additional help on the outside. So with that being said, young receivers on the outside, young developing offensive line, you need a guy who can probably manage the game. You don't want a guy out there just going to sling it all over the place, have cause turnovers, and put your defense in a bad position. Their camp notes, Jabril Peppers, looks like he may play three-way. Defensively at the cornerback and nickel spot, as well as safety. Offensively, possibly at wide receiver slash running back. He also may return kicks. He's made a big impression on Harbaugh and the coaches there, and they feel that he possibly can handle offensive snaps. He was very disciplined this summer, though, by not taking any reps offensively, just trying to master his new position of safety. And even though that may have stunted his growth for his chances of playing offense right away, I think he said he wanted to fine-tune his craft and become the best safety he can be. Eager to see this young man play. Came out of high school with a lot of accolades. Unfortunately, was injured in the second game of the season last year. Didn't see him play. Missed the rest of the season. Gained a medical red shirt. So we still got four more years to hopefully enjoy his talents. Hopefully he can make an impact. Receiver-wise, young receivers. We talked about Amara Darbo and Jehu Chesson, the guys who are probably who are seniors, but have not really produced very much over their career. They're going to get the first crack at being the lead guys. Then after that, you can look at some young guys who've been kind of waiting in the wings, kind of fine-tuning their bodies and fine-tuning their craft. Maurice Ways, locally, local product, highly regarded, highly rated guy going into his redshirt sophomore year. Drake Harris, out of Grand Rapids, highly regarded, 4 to 5 star recruit. Big guy, 6'5", 190 pounds. Could run like the wind. The problem is he's had some severe hamstring injuries, missed his senior year, and also missed last year as well. Hopefully they have his injury situation under control and he can show what he can do out there. Also have Freddie Cantine, who was a sophomore, had a little bit of taste, had his feet wet a little bit last year, had a strong spring last year, thought he was going to play a bigger role. He looks to probably be the lead guy in the slot, especially with Northley gone. Look for him, you know, to make some things happen and possibly have a role in the return game as well. Young guys who may make an impact. Brian Cole is a guy who we've been hearing a lot about. He's been up there. He was up there early, got a chance to participate in spring practice there. 6'2", 200 pounds, has good ability, was a running back in high school and a safety in high school. So he has toughness and has ability to run and really get loose in the open field. Strong hands and, you know, good size, speed, ratio, good type of guy. 6'2", 200 pounds. They're saying that he can possibly, you know, make an impact at the wide receiver spot this year. I'm going to say the sleeper is Grant Perry, a guy out of Brother Rice, who played with Alex Malzone. He's a slot guy. He runs excellent routes. Reminds me a little bit of Wes Welker. His size, he's about 5'9", 5'10", about 175, 80 pounds. Very good hands, very good quickness in and out of routes. Gets in and out of routes, separates really, really well. Uses quickness and has underrated speed. I think he's a guy, when you look at the absence of a Northfleet, You look at Freddie Canteen, the next guy on the roster who kind of has that build and that ability to play that slot would be Perry. The rest of those guys are kind of big, strong outside guys. Those guys are pretty much the only two inside guys we've seen added. So look for those guys to possibly make an impact for Michigan at the wide receiver spot. Moving defensively, again, should be a pretty strong defense. They returned someone to say like 7 to 8 Lettermen on the offensive line, 5 or 6 Lettermen at the linebacker spot. Have a lot of experience, a lot of versatility at both those positions. The biggest loss was in the secondary where you lost Ramon Taylor to graduation. Then you lost Blaine Callis, who 2 years ago was an all-Big Ten performer with 6 interceptions. Last year kind of had some injury issues, didn't have an interception, but is going on a transfer as a graduate transfer to Auburn. Is getting rave reviews from everyone down there. And itself as being a kind of an impact player for the Auburn Tigers. So with that being said, we did get Wayne Lyons, a guy who started, I think, 14 to 15 games at Stanford. Big guy, big corner that the coaching staff likes at 6'1", 205 pounds. Possibly going to be starting opposite Jordan Lewis at the corner spot. You got Peppers and Gerard Wilson at the safety spot. We had a couple of, you know, very good backups, Delano Hill, Demonte Thomas at the safety spot. He also, Demonte can also play corner. Shannon Shribling, a couple young guys at the corner spot. So depth on the defensive side and experience on the defensive side is going to be there. The corner spot gets a little light, but they look to be a solid defense. With that being said, I'm looking at those guys going somewhere between that 7-5, 9-3 areas where I think they kind of will be. I think they're going to have a tough time with some of the big, you know, games. Ohio State, Michigan State, Utah, don't underestimate them. But I think they're going to surprise them. If they get some cohesion and a little bit of momentum going, watch out. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Let's talk a little bit about – actually, I'm going to take a little bit of a break. So I'm going kind of hard here. A little bit of a break with this, Jade. I'm going to give you all a couple bars, a couple minutes of this. Then I'm going to get back with you. Give me a little break time. I'll be right back with you. A little bit of this can't stop me, Jada. Holla.
Get my buzz back. What everybody trying to be now, I was that. They could never stop me. That's why I love rap. Been living the life, crazy ice. With the baddest chicks in the world, maybe twice. The swag, the gear, the bread, all the whips is a year ahead. I only fear the feds. 45 on the other side of the peephole. Headshot from point blank, call of the free throw. Funny, cause I had the vision since Coleco. Back then, still ain't reached my peak though. Louis Lopez, yeah, Polo Pico. Call me whenever the boss is me, yo. I drove Poppy crazy, so the industry's never gonna stop me, baby.
You can't stop me now, you can't stop me.
Can't stop me. Whether I'm on 5th or LA or swap me. It's all good, cause I know the gangsters got me. First things first, the jaws of broccoli. I treat the rap game like a large monopoly. One on one, niggas can't guard me properly. And when they double team me, the odds are sloppy. I move like some 80 milligrams of oxy. Send your sister back to your family, not me. Got too hot for the grams, got weed. In the rap bracket, he remains the top seed. Revolver hold 6, quick to blow 3. Audio heroin, so you don't OD. Shooters know you, but you don't know me. The block is crazy, can't stop me, baby. Able to stop. stop the bleeding. And your girl ain't gonna be able to stop the wheezing. When she get that phone call from the doc, we even. You could not stop me, so stop believing. Stop ringtone rap, this is not the season. Punchline's hard enough to stop your breathing. And the ladies will still pay a lot to see him. I'ma get rich long as I got my freedom. Usually when you get hit, it's for a reason. If you in the hood, better dodge the D's and watch your Q's and be on your P's and thank y'all all for coming out this evening. Having a good time with your liquor and treason. Even if they knock me, then continue to watch me. They still wouldn't be able to stop me.
Back with you after that little short break. Let's go right into it. Let's talk about our Lions in the NFL. Lions have been into the 10 days of camp now. Have a preseason game tomorrow. Get to see. I get our first look at a couple of young guys who we've heard have been, you know, doing pretty well in the camp so far. One of those guys that I really want to see is this guy Amir Abdullah. Our second-round pick out of Nebraska, getting the chance to take advantage of some additional reps because Drake Bell has been hurt, showing well so far in the passing game, showing good quickness, good vision. He's not going to get the start tomorrow, though, against the Bills. I think it's going to be Theo Reddick going to get the start with him backing him up. With that said, eager to see what this guy can do. We hear a lot of talk about him, and we've tried to address that position numerous times. We look at Mike McHale, LeSure. We look at Javid Best. We've tried to get kind of a thunder and lightning kind of situation going on and get a running back who we can really, really depend on, who can be the bell cow and bring some balance to our offense. And I'm eager to see, can this young guy who's a little bit, to me, slight, had a little bit of an issue with ball security at Nebraska, is he able to, you know, stand up to the pounding and be a difference maker? If not be the bell cow, be somebody who can definitely come in and be a change of pace back, be someone who can come in on second and intermediate and third or long, and either, I'm sorry, third and long or third and intermediate, and, you know, be a weapon out of the backfield for us as a receiver, and also possibly in the draw game. He's versatile from what we hear. Pretty quick feet. And can make plays. So let's see what he can do. Also, a running back who's been getting a little bit of, who I've been hearing about, who's been getting, you know, creating a little bit of buzz, is Zach Zinner. The running back who was undrafted out of South Dakota State. He went for over 2,000 yards 2 years in a row at South Dakota State. And from what I understand, has been really doing his thing in practice, and is going to be, I believe, in the rotation in tomorrow's ball game. So look for him to get a lot of carries, a lot of opportunities to show what he can do out there on the field. Also, trying to see what the cornerback situation is going to be. We know Slay is going to be at one spot. Rashawn Mathis, we're hearing stellar things about him, and I don't know what year it is for him, but he's showing himself to be a solid start at the other spot. Quinn and Hedebo are holding down the safety spots. But after that, what's the situation? You know, we have the young guys. We drafted Andre Carter, who's been a little bit Alex Carter, who's been a little bit banged up and hasn't practiced as much as they would like. I'm sorry about that. Then we have Quadri Diggs, who we heard come out of the OTAs, was, you know, showing himself pretty well. So far, him, Josh Bush, and it looks like Nevin Lawson have a nice competition kind of building there for that nickel and dime position. So watch those guys and how those guys perform in that first preseason game tomorrow. They're going to probably get extended playing time. Also, interesting, Pettigrew and Ebron listed as co-starters at the tight end spot. I don't know if there's competition. I don't know if there's going to be an influx of two tight end sets or what, but I can see them using Pettigrew more so as a blocking tight end. He does give you some flexibility because he is a big target and with solid hands. He will drop a ball here and there. But he's a big target and shown himself to be a solid receiver. I mean, he's caught over 70 balls in this league, 50, 60 balls a couple times. So he's a solid receiver. And you have Ebron as a guy who could possibly, you know, play at the other tight end spot in line, or you can split him out in the slot or put him wide and, you know, try to create some type of mismatches for him. So I think, you know, there are some, you know, ways they can use them multiply. But it was interesting to see that designation for him. Ebron, from what we hear, you know, made a real dedication to this sport. And to his craft. He hasn't been talking to the media, I guess, up until today. Hearing, you know, that he is still kind of up and down. Overall, I think that he's been, from what we're hearing, he's been improved. But, you know, he has still the occasional drop, the occasional black route, mental lapse. So we got to work with the young guy. But, you know, I'm going to tell you what, if he can build on what he did last year, double that up, I think that would be quite impressive. If he can give us 45 to 60 catches, somewhere between 500 to 700 yards, I mean, that would be a tremendous asset for us. He could fill that solid void of a second to third receiver and hopefully be a solid red zone target. But I'm eager to see him and see what Christian Furrier and how he fits to that tight end position as well. A lot of things I want to see. The defensive line going to be a point of emphasis. We're not going to have Nada, who's been still nursing that hamstring injury. We got some guys still on the PUP list. Joyke Bell is still on the PUP list. Jason Jones is still on the PUP list, as well as Liaison Waddle. So we still got some injuries to work through, and hopefully those guys can get back to the game soon. Young Waddle, I think his expectations to be back somewhere close to week one. Nada's, they said he's getting closer, even though he hasn't been running on the sideline. They said he's getting closer to returning, and he may be possibly a week or two away. Jason Jones, I'll hear that he's getting close to returning, possibly a week or two as well, but nothing definitive on those guys. Now, talking about some news and notes. Last but not least, looks like no third or fourth receiver has really, really emerged. From what we're hearing is that Corey Fuller and Jeremy Ross are still entrenched as the third or fourth receiver. I thought Lance Moore, knowing the offense and being a veteran, might be able to come in and make a move on that third receiver. But as of right now, it sounds like Corey Fuller and Jeremy Ross are still doing their thing and doing just enough to keep them on the team. Jeremy Ross is still going to be the designated returner. I think that's kind of a funny fact. We did hear some things, had some words about Amir Abdullah being some folks in return duties, but maybe he looks so good, and right now without Bell, his workload is going to be heavy in the offense. They don't want him returning, but that's just a thought of mine. He ain't heard it from me, but that's interesting to see. But Jeremy Ross is still going to be returning kicks until we find somebody better right now, auditioning. And I think they said that Golden Tate was the backup on punts. So if something were to happen, I guess Golden Tate as of now would be the backup on punts. So that's pretty much it for the Lions in their camp. Let's talk about some of the NFL news and notes. Man, the latest and greatest news so far, man, has to be about this guy, Geno Smith, being punched by a fellow teammate. And his jaw being broken in not one but two places. I mean, got hit in his oblongata, Broke in two places, and I expected 6 to 10 weeks. When you look at it, a lot of questions go through my mind. Who hits the quarterback like that? What happened? Where was everybody else? Why didn't they defuse the situation? If they really believed in Geno, would they let him get hit in the mouth by a linebacker? Or did just the stuff just happen so quickly that, you know, bam, he got hit in the face, nobody knew it, and he's hurt. But whatever it is, I don't know if it's good or bad for the Jets, because I think Rich Fitzpatrick is probably one of the best. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'm saying, is probably one of the best backups in the league. Unfortunately, he's not going to be – he's going to be out there for an extended amount of time, so I don't know if that's good or bad. Right now, looking at the situation in Buffalo with the addition of LeSean McCoy, I would really love him to still be there. But even with that being said, he's going to be the quarterback of the Jets, and I don't know if that's a downgrade or an upgrade for them. In terms of Geno, I mean, at first, when I first heard it today, I'm like, man, how did somebody hit the quarterback? You know, then I read it was a 6th-round draft pick. Man, he must didn't know any better. And I'm thinking it was football-related. Then I see it happen in the locker room, and it was really somebody hit this guy in the jaw. Somebody stole on him. And now he's out. I said, man, that's kind of crazy, man. Who let somebody steal on the quarterback, and who was stealing the quarterback? And man, and then I was tuning in to the NFL Network, and Michael Rappaport was talking about it. I'm sorry, Ian Rappaport. I'm saying Michael Rappaport, not the actor, but Ian Rappaport was saying that allegedly, I don't know if this guy attended some camp for him, but what this was over was a $600 plane ticket of some sort that I guess Geno was supposed to take care of him, but hadn't taken care of. And there was some type of altercation verbally that ensued, and no one kind of came to anyone's aid, and no one kind of diffused the situation. So then I hear that Geno approached this guy, 6th-round pick, put his finger in the guy's face. I don't know if he mushed him or what. Whatever he did, the guy's reaction was to punch him in the face. Now, everywhere I've heard is sucker punched and stole him and snuck him. And it's kind of to me, if you have a $600 discrepancy with someone, let's call it that, a discrepancy. Verbal discrepancy, it escalates to where it has to get to a disrespectful level, where it's key that everyone's emotional state is elevated and anything can happen. If somebody approaches you, sticks their finger in their face, and mushes you, because that's kind of what it is, you're not going to just put it in there and touch them. I hope it wasn't touch. I hope I'm not going to say I hope it, but I'm thinking he probably mushed him. Then a hit to the jaw, I'm not going to say it's appropriate or that's what happened. I mean, I'm not going to say it's appropriate or it's justified or anything like that, but that may be the cause and effect, if you will, of, you know, that happening. You getting hit in the jaw, that happened, man. Again, not saying right or wrong or who did what and how this is going to affect the season. But, I mean, I think it says a couple things here. How did the rest of the team, number one, let this issue escalate like this? Was there enough respect there for the quarterback or enough respect for themselves to kind of, you know, defuse this situation? And then number two, again, how does the quarterback let $600 to a 6th-round pick who's no longer there, by the way. Let me get that out of the way. Once this happened, he was immediately released. Possibly derail his season and his career. Let's be honest with you, his career. Because if Fitzy gets him going, and we're talking about a team that has added Brandon Marshall, they drafted Devin Smith, who broke his suffered for some broken ribs, so he's going to be out probably. I don't know if he's going to be back week one or not, but probably the early part of the season. But add that with Eric Decker, a solid tight end. His name escapes me right now. And then you have a bunch of wild card running backs. You got Ivory, who was not great, but solid last year for you. You have his name escapes me now. Hold on a second. Bear with me. Is it Bilal Powell? Oh, no. I'm sorry. They traded for the running back from St. Louis, Zach Stacy. That's who they have. They have Zach Stacy over there to be a banger. And then, he didn't like when Trey Mason was drafted. And then, they drafted Gurley. And at that point, I think he tweeted something. And, eventually they traded him. But anyhow, they have him over there. And they also have one of my all-time favorite players. Unfortunately, he's coming off an ACL injury, but Stephen Ridley is over there. I don't know when he's going to be healthy because he got injured relatively early in the season. If they can add him in the mix and he can become the player he once was, along with those additions I said previously, that offense has potential to be explosive. With that being said, if Fitzy's doing well and this guy comes off an injury, you're going to keep Fitzy in. And that could be the end of Mr. Geno Smith's starting days in New York. So, silly. I think it shows a lack of support for him. We don't know what situation. We don't know how Geno was going about it. Maybe Geno was wrong. Maybe Geno was aggressive. And they said they were going to let things, happen how they happen. They probably didn't expect it to happen that quickly. But unfortunately, he's out of there. We talked about NFL. It's meeting tomorrow with, the NFL and Tom Brady are meeting at the courthouse tomorrow. The judge recently, yesterday, told those guys they need to get together and make some type of compromise and some type of decision, but that is yet to happen. I mean, you see, why he's so insistent on them making a deal. I don't know what side he's going to rule in favor of. It sounds like if he does, it's going to be for possibly unpopular reasons and that some people are going to be extremely angry, but he keeps urging them to kind of make some type of settlement. But I don't know if they're going to be able to settle this one, especially if Brady keeps saying that he wants to be completely exonerated. From this, I think he definitely has some type of working knowledge that they were doing something to the balls, and for him not taking part in an investigation and giving up his phone and then destroying the phone definitely does make him look a little bit guilty and suspect. But with that being said, hey, he did his thing. He got another Super Bowl. He's a champion. Can't take nothing away from him. Pierre Paul finally had contact with the New York Giants. I don't know if he's been able to be fully evaluated by their medical staff. Says that, once he's able to feel a little bit better, go through a little bit more of a recuperation period, that he can come back and be with the team. I don't know if they've evaluated him medically, but since his amputation, but we'll see if he is able to be an effective player and a player who can, make plays and be a benefit to that team. That's going to be a big if, I believe. He's a great player. And I'm not saying that he can't do it, but we'll have to see how it goes. Last but not least, Mr. Cam Newton, man, gets into a scuffle at practice with his cornerback, and it wouldn't be that big of a deal. Scuffles happen all the time. You think somebody hit the quarterback or something, and, you know, it's a bunch of, you know, brouhaha, but no, no, no. This is according to all the reports. Mr. Cam actually threw an interception to Mr. Norman. Mr. Norman was returning the interception. I don't know if he was showboating and or hit a stiff arm or what, but whatever it was, Cam took exception to it. There were words exchanged, and the guys got into a big scuffle. I'm going to tell you, man, I think that it's always, not going to say not good, but it's, you know, one or two little scuffles here and there to show, you know, the blood is boiling, to show guys are emotionally attached to what's going on, or in tune with what's going on, I think is key. I don't know if I want my $100 million quarterback involved with that, though. Again, a situation where a little bit different because we saw from the tape that once they got going and it was just a scuffle, it wasn't a punch thrown or anything, that everybody came to everyone's aid, broke up everything, made sure no one was hurt. I think it's good to have a little bit of an edge, but you got to limit it sometimes. You know, the quarterback, you don't want your franchise quarterback involved with it in any way, shape, or form. Let's talk briefly about the running back situation in the fantasy football. We got about 20 minutes left. And I'm going to try to get through these as quickly as I can. I know some of the cats out here have their tears broken down. Some of the big wigs, the Matthew Berrys, and whoever else may be out here. So to me, I broke mine down in some tears. And I look at fantasy football, and I think of the running back position. I think it's still the most important position out there because you definitely need at least, usually in most leagues, you need at least two of them out there, and you can also have them as a flex. Also because they touch the ball is about the second most times, the second most of any skilled position player out there outside of the quarterback. And because of position need scarcity, you need a couple guys you can have on your team. You need a couple guys in case one or two of these guys get injured. You need a guy to cover you on bye week. So you have a great need for solid running backs. But then the scarcity of these guys, after three, four rounds, you're going to be looking at lower-end guys. The guys with still some upside, but lower-end, the mid-tier guys with upside. Then after that, it gets really, really dry. After round eight or nine, everybody has upside and really probably less production. More about potential. So with that being said, let's look at, you know, my tier of running backs. And I said even at the beginning of the running back tier, you know, where you usually are safe with the good guys who can score a lot to help your team, there's a little bit of uncertainty here. You know, you've got AP. He's coming back for off a year suspension. You know, last time he was off for injury, he came back with flying colors, did his thing. This year, nothing physically is wrong with him. He probably saved some tread on the tires by not playing last year. Big things for him. Le'Veon Bell, solid guy, solid receiver, guy who's going to help you in any format, PPR or standard. Solid runner between the tackles. He gets the lion's share of his carries, of his team's carries. He also can catch the ball in the backfield and also gets the lion's share of their goal line touches. He's really, really dope. The problem with him is that he misses the first two games. With him, he misses the first two games. When you look at Jamal Charles, he had a very, very solid year and has a solid body of work, but he also had a down year last year. When you look at Eddie Lacy has ability. He plays in a very, very productive offense, but he also has tremendous guys around him who could possibly eat off his plate, food off his plate. Marshawn Lynch, solid guy, but you add Jimmy Graham to that offense, and you have another red zone threat who can possibly take close goal line opportunities away from Lynch. The second tier, you got Matt Forte. Again, starting over with a new offensive coordinator and a new coach, He's 30 years old. You don't know if he's going to be able to be someone who can going to carry the load, or they're going to try to take some carries from him. When you look at LeSean McCoy, he's in Buffalo. He still has it, in my opinion. He's 26. He's young. But what does he have around him, and what's the quarterback around him can do? What can he do? Jeremy Hill's a guy I'm very high on. Played basically the last year, half of the season, performed very, very well. Shared time, though, with Giovanni Bernard, DeMarco Murray. No longer in Dallas, where he has the best offensive line. Now currently in Philly, where they still have a solid offensive line, but he also will share carries with a guy like Ryan Williams, along with Darren Sproles. Third tier, C.J. Anderson's a guy I don't really believe in. I don't really think that I don't know. I'm not going to say he doesn't have ability. He plays in a high-powered deep offense with Denver, but I don't know if I'm really ready to believe in him right now. I think he has a couple guys around him, Monte Ball being one of them, who's going to eat into his carries and things. Justin Forsett, the running back at Baltimore Ravens. Great dual threat guy, can catch the run, their goal line guy. But after he's only had 1 year. He's only had one year of production, and I believe in consistency. I want to see him do it for a little bit longer. Alfred Morris, a guy who's a bell cow for you, doesn't do very much in the passing game, is a little bit inconsistent the last couple of years, and has also been being vultured by his backups, Roger Lou, who is now gone. But they also drafted a young back pretty early in the third round. So if you grab him, you also want to grab Matt Jones as well. Also in this tier, Mark Ingram, a guy I try to stay away from. He's had a couple of solid years of production, but has been very, very much up and down, injury prone, and really, really, really inconsistent. Young guy, Melvin Gordon, rookie. Plays in a solid offense with San Diego, has a solid quarterback, Phillip Rivers. Solid skill position players around him. Keenan Allen at the wide receiver spot. Antonio Gates at tight end. And looks to be the head, the odds-on favorite to be the starter there and be the bell cow there. Solid goal line guy and also a receiver. Lamar Miller, Miami. Contract year. Always watch guys in the contract year. They're trying to, you know, go out with a bang and show that they're worth, you know, whatever money they're going to demand. Solid offense around them. Tannehill had a solid year last year, showed that he was a up-and-coming quarterback. This guy's put on 10 pounds, looks to be the bell cow for him. All they did draft, Jay in the fifth round, but look for him to be a dual-threat guy as a runner and receiver for Miami. Frank Gore, currently in Indiana, in Indy, with Andrew Luck, Andre Johnson, T.Y. Hilton. It's a high-powered offense. He's a solid goal line guy. They've tried to work on improving their offensive line. He looks like he's going to be a guy who will be tremendously productive, especially around the goal line. And he's an underrated receiver and pass blocker. So he looks to be there, to be a three-down back there. Definitely check him out. Some young guys we're going to take a look at. Ty Gurley in the fourth round. I'm sorry, my tier four running back. Coming off a knee injury, ACL injury, not going to really get a chance to see him in preseason due to, like I said, him recovering from that injury. But expected to be a go for week one. Has not been put on any type of PUP list or anything, and has been participating in practice in the team portions. Very, very solid guy. Great upside, speed, size, vision. A guy who can make plays in the short, intermediate, and long game, and is a tremendous pass receiver as well. Joseph Randall, the heir apparent in Dallas. Small guy. I don't know if he's going to be able to handle the load, but on his limited carry basis, he averaged 7 yards a carry, was explosive and quick out of his in and out of his cuts, and showed ability to be a reasonable, solid receiver in the passing game. I don't know what he's going to do in pass protection.
And I don't know what with Darren McFadden, if he's going to be ever going to be healthy enough to be a solid backup for him. So if he's not, Randall is the guy that you need to grab out of that running back by committee and ride him. Also, Andre Ellington, solid receiver out of the backfield, proven to be a solid runner, a little bit injury prone, so you take your chances with him. But there is some solid upside with him as well. They did bring in another back in the draft, David Johnson, who's going to probably take some carries from him, but that may help him with his durability issues. And I think he has a great upside this year. Tevin Coleman, a rookie, Atlanta. So far, I've had a lot of expectations for this guy, but as of yet, haven't seen him come true. So far, he's been hurt, still stuck behind Devontae Freeman at the running back spot there. Don't know if he's going to play this week in the opening preseason game. So right now, I don't know if his star is trending up or down right now, so I will kind of stay away from him. Young guy from here, Amir Abdullah. Getting all the reps at the Detroit situation with Joey Bell being injured. He also has shown himself in the first couple of weeks to be a competent pass protector as well as running back. As well as receiver. So showing that he can really, really be on the field in all type of facets is playing a big, big role in his favor in terms of his race for that number two or possibly number one running back spot. The more time that Joey Bell misses, I think it's going to be play to his advantage and give him a shot at to actually win the job. We all know that they invested very heavily in him, a second-round pick, and they definitely feel that he can be a difference-maker somehow in the offense and give a little bit of balance to the Matt Stafford-Calvin Johnson combination. Let's talk about some guys who could be sleepers. David Cobb. The situation is that he's going to be the backup right now. Change the pace back to Bishop Sankey. Sankey was drafted last year by Tennessee to be the bell cow. Hasn't shown himself to be consistent enough to basically do the job. He's also a little bit light. At about 5'10", 200 pounds, he's not built to be the really guy who can carry the ball 25 to 35 times a game. David Cobb, 5'11", 230 pounds. A little bit more sturdy, a guy who has good vision, not the best speed, but definitely has a nose for the end zone and definitely can find open creases. He's a guy who I can see becoming the bell cow or being the lead back on first and second down. Mr. Sankey being the change of pace back or a third down back. Reggie Bush, we already know about him. He's going to be basically the change of pace or third down back in San Francisco behind Carlos Hyde. A guy who, if something happens to Hyde, his star shoots way up. But right now, I just think he's a solid backup or handcuff option. Shane Vereen, definitely watch him, especially if you're in a PPR format. He's definitely gold in terms of receiving. But when you look at the running back situation there in New York, they have Andre Williams, who's a solid guy on first and second down. He's a plotter, but he hasn't been where he needs to be in terms of pass protection. Rashad Jennings, who's a guy who has shown, to me, big-time ability, or very solid to good, I would say solid to good ability as a runner. A guy who, if he stayed healthy, would probably have no problem being that 900 to 1,100-yard runner, 6 to 8 touchdown guy. He's also a solid receiver. He's a guy who can probably catch 25 to 40 balls a year for 200 to 300 yards a game. A year. And be a solid dual threat guy. His problem has been durability. He has not played one full season where he's touched the ball over 150 times. So either you limit his touches or he's going to limit them for you by getting injured. So definitely that situation there with Shane Vereen is interesting because he's a solid runner coming out of college. He's kind of fashioned himself into a pass receiver, a third down back in the pros. But because of their high-tempo offense that they like, the offensive coordinator likes to run in New York, there's a lot of times where guys are on the field and they don't get a chance to get off. So there's been a lot of Shane Vereen sightings on first and second down for the New York Giants in practice, which was prompting a lot of folks to say that he's going to have a bigger role on offense there because of his versatility. So keep your eye on that. He can be definitely fantasy gold, possibly in a PPR situation. Because I'm out here by myself, oh, last line leads Alfred Blue. Alfred Blue, ladies and gentlemen, he's the backup for Arian Foster. And I'm going to tell you this. If Arian Foster, we don't know how he's going to be, but if I was you, if I were you in the 15th or 16th round, they're saying this guy's going to be out maybe a month or two. Well, we got about a month before practice starts. And you got about another month to the season. So you're looking at probably like week six, and this guy's been a miraculous healer before. He is still worthy of a draft pick. I don't know if it's in the 11th, 12th, 14th, 15th round, but any round after 11, if he's still on the field, still on the board in your fantasy draft, you need to go grab him. But Alfred Blue, he's a guy that's going to take his place. He got a lot of experience last year in three or four games. Now, what you have to keep your eye on is if they go and sign somebody. There's been some talk that that Arizona is being kind of upset with their running situation. There was some talk that they offered a one-year contract to Chris Johnson. There's also been some talk that the Houston may offer a contract to even a Steven Jackson or the Pierre running back from New Orleans. So keep your eye on that. But if Alfred Blue gets the job, he's not the best. He's not the fastest. He's not the prettiest. He's a big guy, physical guy. A guy that you probably love around the goal line. He's a one-cut guy, good vision, one-cut, gets up in there, gets what he kind of, you know, what he's supposed to get. Sometimes more, he always leans and falls forward. But not spectacular, but I think they'll use him. I think they'll use him a lot, you know. They have Grimes over there as well, Jonathan Grimes. And like I said, you want to keep your eye on to see if they sign a veteran. But if Alfred Blue is the lead back, I think he's worthy of probably a 7th or 8th round pick, and he can give you some probably good production. He's a guy who's going to probably give you 20 carries, 75, 80 yards, and a touchdown. Two, three catches, 15, 20 yards, you know, on a good day. You may have the bad days, 15 carries for 40 yards and nothing going on, but he's good for that. He's also going to give you that 80-yard, one touchdown, 15, 20 yards receiving day where you get points when you thought you're going to get about 7 or 8. You've been happy with it. If he can give me 9, I'm good. He gives you 16. So definitely check out, watch for him. And that's pretty much coming to the end of the show. I don't have my cohort here. We ended a little early. I tried to fill it up as much as possible. Thank you guys for being with me as I was taking sips of my lemonade just to keep my throat together over here. Remember, you can check this out, man. We're going to try to get some consistency going here with the show. I'm going to thank you guys for bearing with us in terms of the changing times. Tuesday and Wednesday is pretty much our going time, but we're going to try to figure it out once this football season kind of settles in. You know, we both do some coaching, and I'm getting ready for a wedding, so we're very, very busy. But glad, you know, you guys are sticking with us. Tell your friends, check out the archives at all times. Thank you guys so much. And remember, if you don't have a passion for anything else, have a passion for life and a passion for sports. You know what I'm saying? And I'm already home, so I'm going to drill you off with this Jay-Z, baby. Thank you guys. Have a good one.
I'm already home. Hey, I'm already home. Hey. on. They know I'm space shuttle level. They need oxygen. Don't they know that you spawn? Don't they know that I yawn? Only time the excitement is when they mention the Sean. You see single white female when she got a hair blonde. Sometimes I look at these rappers, the movie remind me of them. Somebody turn these boys off. Don't they know that I'm on? Can't they see that it's foolish to try to kill me with song? What the fuck are they hearing? You killing me softly. You talk me to death. Only thing you can see, Tom. I open the door for them. What else can I do? These niggas want me to walk for them. Somebody talk for them before I go off for them.
They want me to fall. Off from the top. They want me to stop. They want me to stop. They want me to go. I'm already gone.
Already.
Then I'm on.
Hey.
Already home.
Hey, I'm already home. Hey, I'm already home. Hey. I told them about fish scale, they want me to fish for them. They want me to catch clean, they cook up the fish for them. All of this just for them, oh they got a fist for him. They want me to disappear, like it's gon' shit for them. They say that I'm in the way, they want me to sit for them. But what they admitting is, they ain't got shit for him. And really the fact is, we not in the same bracket, not in the same league. Don't shoot at the same baskets, don't pay the same taxes, hang with the same bitches. So how am I in the way, what is it I'm missing? Nigga, I've been missing. Nigga, I've been gone. The shit that you just witnessed is this I've been on. And that's for the critics. Tell me I don't get it. Everybody could tell you how to do it. They never did it. Now these niggas is mad. Oh, they call me a camel. But I'm after the trout. What the fuck? I'm an animal. Half man, half mammal. My sign is a fag. This is just what I'm planning to. Oh, don't be mad.
Oh, they want me to fall. Fall from the top. They want me to stop.
Drop.
Stop, you want me to go?
Go.
I'm already gone.
Already.
Then I'm on.
Hey.
I'm already home.
Hey, I'm already home. Hey, I'm already home. Thank you. I'm already home. I'm in the hall already, on the wall already. I'm a work of art, I'm a wall hall already. On another level, on another plane already. H-O-V, I got my own lane already.
Already.
I done cooked up the rock already. So why the fuck can't y'all get hot already?
Already.
Put your name in the pot already. Niggas compare me with Biggie and Pac already.
Already.
Like I'm gone already, and I am, nigga, I'm already home already.
Already.
If y'all can't already see, I ain't worried about y'all, cause I'm already me.
Already.
Yeah. Do you already? Enough with the complaining boo-hoos already. Eat food already, ain't nothing given, you gotta claim your shoes already. Yeah. So in summation, I don't know who you racing, I'm already at the finish line with the flag waving. Come on.
Oh, they want me to fall.
Fall
from the top.